We're going to continue on that. We're going to be in... we got through being the foul. So let's go to Leviticus 2, and we're going to start the meat offering. Leviticus 2, we're going to start the meat offering here. And I always say, people get that messed up to mean animal sacrifice, and it's not animal sacrifice. I wasn't sure if I left my glasses at home or what. Anyway, so keep us in prayer. We've been on this new, because my blood sugar has been, they wanted to put me on medicine because my blood sugar, I'm considered a diabetic. Just didn't want the medicine. So I talked to Brother Tim. I just happened to mention to him, and he said, hey, man, I know this. Of things that really helped him out. And so last Thursday, not this Thursday, just passed, but the one before that, we started what they call the keto diet. And I've lost 12.8 pounds in a week. 12.8 pounds 1 week, and my sugar numbers are in the 90s every day.
You're going to hate me.
I'm not. I don't hate anybody.
I lost 10 pounds in the last 2 days.
Well, you look like you need to look about 40 pounds. 10 pounds in 2 days is probably the most unhealthiest thing you could ever do to your entire life.
Hey, I'm not eating well.
Okay? It doesn't matter. It's still very unhealthy.
I know.
10 pounds in 2 days is a very...
Three days.
Huh?
He said 3 days, I think.
Or 3 days. That's very unhealthy.
Look,
a person is supposed to lose about 2 pounds or so if they're just on a normal everyday average. 2 to 3 pounds every 4 or 5 days is okay. But if you're losing 10 pounds in 3 days, you need to go get in the hospital, because that's a very sickly person.
Because I'm not eating, and I'm walking everywhere to get applications.
Placed. And that's okay, because that makes you a very ill person then.
Okay. I'm not okay.
It's not okay. But the thing is this. What is walking hurting you?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's the amount that I'm doing.
Oh, that's just fine. It's all good. It's good.
Like I said, it's the not
you're into kung fu and all that, so all that walking should be a good thing for you.
It is. It's just the not eating is what's hurting.
Well, that's... Go get some food.
I will. Later on today.
You work at Mickey D's. Eat.
I will. Later on today.
You know?
But you have to pay for that.
I'm going
to
mow down later on at lunch.
Leviticus 2. Let's go, and we're going to start the meat offering. And... I got to get to my notes in here. We're going to start, I think I left off in verse 11, but you know what? I'm going to go and I'm going to restart that over again. And let me start in verse 1, Leviticus 2. It says, when any will offer a meat offering unto the Lord, his offering shall be of fine flour, shall pour oil upon it, and the frankincense thereon. He shall bring it unto Aaron's sons and the priests, and he shall take thereout his handful of flour thereof, and of the oil, and with the frankincense thereof, and with the priests shall burn the memorial of it upon the altar, and be an offering made by fire of sweet savour unto the Lord. And the remnant of the meat offering shall be Aaron's and his sons, as a thing most holy of the offerings of the Lord made by fire. And if thou bring an oblation of meat offering, bacon in the oven, it shall be unleavened cakes of fine flour mingled with oil, or unleavened wafers anointed with oil. And if thy oblation be a meat offering, bacon in a pan, it shall be a fine flour unleavened mingled with oil. And thou shalt part it in pieces, and pour out their oil thereupon as a sweet meat offering. And if thy oblation be a meat offering, bacon in the frying pan, it shall be made of fine flour with oil. So far we see no animal sacrifice here, right? Are we just wrong? No, so a lot of people are going to change that meat offering into an animal sacrifice, and it's not. Okay, so verse 9, and the priest shall take from the meat offering a memorial thereof, and shall burn it upon the altar. It is an offering made by fire of a sweet savour unto the Lord. And that which is left is a meat offering, shall be Aaron's and his sons. Told you that's how they eat. It is a thing most holy of offering of the things made by fire. No meat offering which you shall bring unto the Lord shall be made with leaven. For you shall burn no leaven, nor any honey, nor any offering made by fire. As the as for the oblation of the first fruits, you shall offer them unto the Lord, but they shall not be burnt on the altar for a sweet savour. And every oblation of thy meat offering shalt thou season with salt. neither shalt thou suffer the salt of the covenant of God to be lacking from thy meat offering. And with all thy offerings thou shalt offer with salt. And so just to clear that up, all offerings are done with, they have salt on them. That includes your animal sacrifices and everything. It all have salt. God made a covenant with salt. He says, go ahead.
Just a random thought. In verse 12 it says, as for the oblation of the first fruits, ye shall offer them unto the Lord, but they shall not be burnt on the altar. So was it Aaron's and his sons then? Because it wasn't burnt?
Well, no, obviously they're going to eat the leftovers. But that first fruit there was just something that God didn't want burnt. Maybe, you know, the next day or something they got that fruit or whatever. You know, the Bible's not clear on what they did with it. You have a thought?
I was just thinking, I didn't know if they put it out the rod or I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if they put it out the rod or nothing or anything like that. That's a good question. Watch if you try to find that out. You know, when God puts a question in your heart, study it. I've never seen that. I've never even thought about why that's not burnt or anything like that. So go ahead.
With the thought of the first fruits, would it be the tree, the fig tree? Where they're planting? I forget what type of tree it was, but where they're planting and they were not supposed to eat of it for a certain amount of time. Would it be something like that, where they would have to, where
and it
they
could
wouldn't eat it?
Well, this kind of might not fit in there because this fruit here is gonna rot.
Right, but. That's all I was thinking
of. You know what I mean? So I'm not sure why it was not. It doesn't say. It just says it's for a sweet savor. So, I mean, study it out, Eric. So maybe you can find something for us. And because I never looked at it, and I like questions like that. And I just never looked at it that way, so I really don't have an answer for it, all right? I got a piece of hair from my wife.
I hate that.
Okay, 13.
My wife, man.
And every oblation of thy meat offering shalt thou season with salt. Okay, we know it's a salt. And it says that the salt of the covenant be with God, lacking for the meat offering. With all thine offerings thou shalt offer salt. 14, if thou offer a meat offering of the first fruits unto the Lord, thou shalt offer for a meat offering of thy first fruits green ears of corn dried by fire, even corn beaten out of the full ears. And thou see how they beat that corn? You know why they beat that corn? They're trying to get into the meat of it. Okay? They're not just wanting the kernel that's on the outside. There's a little, if you ever break open a hard piece of corn, there is a little thing in there. It's called the meat. And so that's what they're trying to get to here. And so verse 15 says, and thou shalt put oil upon it and lay frankincense thereon. It is a meat offering. And the priest shall burn the memorial of it, part of the beaten corn thereof and part of the oil thereof, with all the frankincense thereof. Is it an offering made by fire unto the Lord? So everything's burnt except for that verse 13 there. Verse 12 with the first fruits. And we'll have to find out why that's laid aside. The Israelites offered a meat offering. Whey, barley, corn, all that's a meat offering, okay? In addition to animals, Leviticus chapter 2 mentions four kinds of meat offerings, okay? There's four kinds. Remember, you have your main offering, which is going to be right here, we're learning the meat, and then you're going to have your sub-offerings. Those are going to be the names of certain things. You have your fowl offering, but underneath that fowl offering, you have a dove or, you know, a pigeon or whatever, so that's a sub-offering, all right? And so same with what's the problem? Same with the meat offering. Now we're going to go into some sub offerings, okay? And so one is Leviticus 2, verse 1 says, the flour. And when any shall offer a meat offering unto the Lord, his offering shall be a fine flour. And shall pour upon it the oil and the frankincense, okay? Number 2 is Leviticus 2:4. It says, if thou shalt bring an oblation of meat offering, baking in the oven, shall be unleavened cakes, a fine flour mingled with oil, or unleavened wafers anointed with oil. Number 3 would be corn or first fruits. That's in verse 12. We just went over that. As for the oblation of the first fruits, you shall offer them unto the Lord, but they shall not be burnt on the altar of sweet savor. Leviticus 2:14. And thou shalt offer an offering of first fruits unto the Lord. Thou shalt offer the meat offering of the first fruits of ears of corn, dried by fire, even corn beaten out of the full ears. Okay? And so then we're going to, the fourth meat offering is corn. Okay? Salt. Leviticus 2:13, it says, every oblation of thy meat offering shall be seasoned with salt. Neither shall salt thou suffer the salt of the covenant of thy God to be lacking from thy meat offering. With all thy offerings thou shalt offer salt. Salt is a cleaning agent, right? You can put it on a sore or something like that, and it helps get the infections out and so on and so forth. Salt adds flavor. So there's many things. Well, you say, well, that's being offered to God. God likes salt. Can't he have flavor? Can't he have something he likes? Okay. That was a joke, guys. Okay. thanks, buddy. That's a good one. But then you got to also remember that Aaron and his sons were going to eat some of this stuff too. So it just added a little flavor to it. You know, cleansing. Picture of cleansing would be salt. Salt cleanse, okay? And so an offering. What's the offering for? It's a meat offering. It's an oblation, okay? And we're going to get into that a little bit more as I get through this. And I'm not sure if I want to...
How many purposes did you say there was for salt again?
It's a cleaning, right? It can help with infections and so on. Number two, it can add flavor to something that's bland. Number three, we know it melts stuff. I mean, if you live up north, you know salt can be used to melt something.
Preservative,
thank you. That's
meat.
Good.
In the desert, they put it all over the meat and everything.
That's real good. Preservative, huh?
From dying.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Remember, Jesus says he was the salt. He calls us to be salt. To add flavor and preserve. What's preserved? Hey, man, they might get saved. But anyway, that's good, man. It's a good picture of stuff. Well, and go ahead. I'm listening, Randy.
A little unrelated. Someone managed to accidentally find another purpose for it. Once they melted it down to a certain point, once they put it back in water, it turned into an explosive underwater.
Randy, that's not salt anymore. It changes chemical
compound. Once you change the chemical compound, it wouldn't be salt anymore.
You burn the chlorine gas.
It's like melting you down and using it as a cleaning agent. You're not a human anymore. You can't say a human can be used as a cleaning agent. You're just a liquid.
It was just molten salt.
No.
You said, and you put it underwater at a certain temperature. And once you change the temperature or something, it can change the chemical compound. It can burn certain things.
It definitely will.
Fire is a change.
But I understand. It's all right.
Yeah, it was most likely table salt.
And, you know, salt also can be used as a weapon. You toss that in somebody's eyes, man. It's brutal. Anyway.
I forget which one of you
did.
Believe me, they do it in prison quite a bit.
Yeah,
they carry it in their pockets and everything else. That's just, you know, it's a deterrent, man. I mean, you get that in your eyes, you're not swinging on anybody. You're done.
Just get overrun.
You might as well just turn and go because that salt will burn your eyes. So, I'm pretty sure you guys all understand the meat offering. I mean, so we're going to move on to, in my brain today, I'm having a lot of problems because I got so much going on in my head. I got so much, my mind isn't here, I'm over here. This week has been a busy week. A blessing, though. I mean, it's been a wonderful week. I'm not complaining a bit. I even got an email from the sergeant at the jail, which never happens, ever, saying that she heard how well the service went last Sunday. Now, she does not work Sundays. So how somebody got the message to her that the service went well is beyond me. It was a wonderful service. The Lord showed up in that meeting for sure. I mean, tears, man. I mean, it was just a good time. I had 14 people total call out. I taught on belief. And I taught that here in the class. And
were any guards there by any chance?
I don't know if they can hear. They do have speakers in there, but I'm not sure if they listen. I'm not sure how they work all that. Not to my knowledge. They've never done that in any jail or prison I've ever been in. Not saying they can't do it. All they got to do is hold the button, and they can hear everything they're saying in that room. So I'm not sure. It's probably just a change of attitude in the inmates for that day. They could have wrote a slip. Saying it was a good, anything could have happened because all those channels are there. Believe me, there's a lot of channels that are in jail and prison for you to have contact with people. Believe me, it's open. You can have contact with outside lawyer anytime you want, 24 hours a day. They can call that lawyer in and all that stuff. They can't stop all that legal stuff and such. So there's a lot of channels that are open in there, but how she found out, good. But for her to write me, that was the big thing. Because just a few days before that, I'm not going to say that gentleman's name. He sent out an email to all the people that are coming in, and he says it's been 5 or 6 months since anybody's called them out on a Wednesday night. And so really the people are just bucking here and other people. I didn't do it. I don't go in there bashing nobody. I just went in there with a King James Bible in my hand, and that's who they're desiring to come in, is have somebody come in. Now, that next day, I sent in 10 Bibles. 10 people requested Bibles out of 14. Okay? And some of the reason why the other ones didn't, because I already gave them a Bible. I had already sent them a Bible in. And so, I'm sure...
Hispanic Bibles or English Bibles too?
Both. Hispanic and English, which is wonderful, because we have plenty of Hispanic Bibles, and then I've also just learned how to translate off the Word document. I can translate that into any language I need now. So I'm going to have somebody who's good with English and Spanish in the jail, and somebody who's good with English and French in the jail, see if my translation with the Bible is staying to where it should be. If not, then I have to figure out a different program. Because there's people in there who don't know a lick a bit of English. They don't even know one word of English, both Spanish and French. Okay? And so...
How are you doing it then?
They just come... Huh?
How do you teach them though?
They just come in and listen. Okay? But I gave them French Bibles. There's one girl in the class who tells them what passages to go to and everything else. And then whatever message I bring in, I leave for them. And then she takes them during the week and teaches them off what I left there in French to them. Okay? So she gets it to them. But man, they come in just as faithful. There's four French ladies that don't understand a bit of English, and they come and sit in my class. Okay, and I mean, they speak Creole French is what it is. It's a Creole French. And so they come in and they sit there, man, though they don't understand it. I mean, they still turn the Bible because she tells them where we're going and that. So, you know, it's pretty neat. But if I can get something for them to be able to read.
The French black or white?
Black.
Black, that's what I thought.
Creole. And so, Creole.
Like Mississippi or.
From a different country.
I know, but a lot of them will live in New Orleans.
Yeah.
So, definition of Creole, please.
What's that?
Definition of Creole, please?
It's just a culture.
It's a language, culture. Yeah. It's a mixture of two different languages put into one, like a French.
So what, like something. A blended language?
It is. It really is. Hmm. And I don't know what country they're from.
It sounded like Texas. Everyone speaks like a mix of Spanish and English. All the Mexicans. I can't think of the name of it, but it's not a normal language.
So, you know, through the Word program, I'm able to be able to do that. There's a guy in there who really just, he's Spanish, he cannot understand a bit of English. And so to have stuff like them is going to be a good thing. That way they can sit there and follow along. I can send them in messages, they have the Bible. And so it's good. So anyway, now we're going to move on to the burnt offering. We're going to move on from the burnt offerings to the peace offering. We've been dealing with just the burnt offerings, okay? And now we're going to move on to the peace offerings in Leviticus 3. And we're going to read, we're going to read all 17 verses. We have time to get into this, and I want to start into this. So let's read the first 17 verses. How about this? Who wants to help read this? Go ahead, Tanya.
Where are we turning? I didn't even hear
what Leviticus 3.
First 17 verses?
Well, there's only 17 verses. So, I mean, if you want to read like the first five or something, that'd be good.
Okay. And if the oblation be a sacrifice of peace offering, if he offer it of the herd, whether it be male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of his offering, and kill it at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about. And he shall offer the sacrifice of peace offering, an offering made by fire unto the Lord, the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is on them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver. With the kidneys, it shall he take away. And Aaron's son shall burn it on the altar upon the burnt sacrifice, which is upon the wood that is on the fire. It is an offering made by fire for a sweet savor unto the Lord.
Eric, I want to read a couple. Read like 6 through 12 or something.
And if his offering for a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord be of the flock, male or female, he shall offer it without blemish. If he offer a lamb for his offering, then shall he offer it before the Lord. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of his offering, and kill it before the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron's son shall sprinkle the blood thereof around about upon the altar. And he shall offer of the sacrifice of the peace offering, an offering made by fire unto the Lord, the fat thereof, and the whole rump it mm-hmm. shall he take off, hard by the backbone and the fat that covereth the inwards and all the fat that is upon the inwards. And the two kidneys and that and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks and the caul above the liver and the kidneys, it shall he take away. And the priest shall offer it upon the altar. It is the food of the offering made by fire unto the Lord. And if his offering be a goat, then he shall offer it before the Lord.
And he shall lay his hands upon the head of it, kill it before the tabernacle congregation. The sons and Aaron shall sprinkle the blood thereof upon the altar round about. And it shall offer thereof his offering, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord, that the fat that covereth the inwards and all the fat that is upon the inwards and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks and the caul, the liver and the kidneys, shall he take away. And the priest shall burn them upon the altar as a food of the offering made by fire of a sweet savour unto all the fat that is of the Lord's. It shall be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout your dwellings, that you shall eat neither fat nor blood. Right off the bat, notice there are two sub-offerings here in our peace offerings. The number one is found in Leviticus 3:1. It's called the herds. Okay, I'm going to read that. And it's an oblation to be a sacrifice of peace offerings. If you shall offer of the herd, whether it be male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. And the second is that of a lamb or a flock, okay? That's found in Leviticus 3:6-7. It says, and an offering of a sacrifice, be a peace offering unto the Lord, shall be of a flock, a male or female, shall offer it without blemish. If he shall offer a lamb for his offering, then he shall offer it before the Lord, okay? And so I said I was going to get into that word oblation a little bit. And the word oblation, you'll find it first used in your Bible in Leviticus 2, chapter 2, verse 4. And it's found 30 times in your Bible. Okay, the word oblation is found 30 times. It shows up first in Leviticus 2, 4. And the definition of oblation is to bear or to bring. Anything offered or presented in a worship or sacred service, an offering of a sacrifice. And we know that Jesus Christ fulfilled all these sacrifices. And I want to bring you to Hebrews 10, and I want to show you where he becomes, Hebrews 10. And so he becomes our oblation, okay? Hebrews 10, Hebrews 10, New Testament. And we're going to start in, let's see. Hebrews 10, let's start in verse 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared for me. That's Jesus speaking, saying that offerings were no good unto God anymore, but he gave him a body to come down here on earth. Okay? Verse 6, and burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast no pleasure. And you know why God lost pleasure in that? Because people would come, they would give their sacrifice, and then go back out there and just willingly live their life any way they want, because they knew they were going to get forgiveness again. And God said, I'm tired of that. Okay, so he had no pleasure in that anymore. Verse 7 says, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering, and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadst thou pleasure wherein, which are offered by the law. Verse 9, then he said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish a second. So we see that by Jesus Christ coming and dying, he's going to fulfill the Old Testament, and he's going to stop that. Okay, no longer we live by that anymore, but now he's going to establish the new covenant. He's going to establish the new way. So, I mean, thank God that we don't have to go. Could you imagine the sacrifices that we'd have to make year for year for year and go and just say, Lord, I need you to cleanse my conscience. I mean, imagine having to do what they had to do in the Old Testament. Well, we don't, okay? People are brought to the point of being lost underneath the law, but after that, they're free. Okay, we're free. I'm free from the law. I don't have to live my life according to the law anymore. My law now is Jesus Christ fulfilled it, so now I'm to love him and others as myself. That's my law. That's what I live by. That's what Jesus Christ says. These two things that the whole law hang on. Why? Because he fulfilled it. He became the law. Okay, he took every one of these upon himself because he knew. It says that which the law could not, we couldn't do because it's weak in the flesh. We are as human beings. Could you imagine this? Let's just say this. You go back in the book of Exodus, and here's Moses going up in the mountain to get the Ten Commandments for the first time. He's only gone a short time. 10 commandments, 10 things you're supposed to do. He's gone a short time, and in that short time, they come up to Moses or Aaron and said, you have to make us a god. We don't know what happened to Moses. We're not paying attention to him. They all break off their earrings and make a molten calf. Just in that short period of time. And this shows you the wickedness of man, okay? And so God's going to give us 10 commandments to follow. And those 10 commandments, before the 10 commandments even made it to the bottom of the mountain, they've all broken every one of them. They've broken the very first one. Before Moses even comes off the mountain, it says that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. All right, that's the first commandment. And guess what? They're already breaking that by having that molten calf saying, "You delivered us from Egypt." God hasn't even given that law yet, and it was already broke before he even got to the bottom of the hill there. And they got Aaron to do it. And so the law is weak in the flesh. God knows we can't keep that law, but we need to see ourselves through that law to see where we stand in God's eyes. And that's where it's got to be today. People just don't believe the Bible. They don't believe it for a hot second. When I'm going into the jail, when there's people sitting here in the pews and so on and so forth, these people don't believe what that Bible says. You know why I know that? First and foremost, if people would think they're really hiding things, they're not. They're exposing themselves. And you guys hear me say it all the time. Because your belief will reflect your life. For sure. I guarantee it that your belief reflects the outside of your life. Okay? And you can see it in people. Well, yeah, I believe, and their life is a mess. It has never changed, not for one inkling. Okay? Not for one inkling has their life ever changed. And they're going to tell me that they believe this Bible. Belief demands action. Okay? Just to let you know that. Belief demands action. Think about that. And so, let's go on here. What verse did I leave off? Do you guys know? Okay, let's just start at verse 11. Let's start in verse 10. By which we all sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So there you go. He abolished it. No more do we have to go. He abolished it all for once. Okay, it's all on himself now. Verse 11. And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. It can't take them away. The law was covered by the blood of the sacrifices. Now God, Jesus Christ, and his blood takes them away. Totally two different things. The old has passed away. The new has come. He's establishing the new covenant here. Okay? And we're seeing Jesus Christ fulfill Leviticus chapter 1 through 7. He's fulfilling these sacrifices. He's going to take every single one of them, and he's going to fulfill every one of them. Now it's going to be on your own, people, to go in there and figure out where is he doing it, because he does do them. I've found quite a few of them, but not all of them. But you know, that's going to be something on your own study. Somebody can come up here and give you the basic, guys. But don't be lazy and expect him to give you everything. I didn't know that question that you asked me. But it doesn't mean you can't go find it and bring it back to us. Okay? People can lay down the foundation for you. But don't be lazy and expect everybody to do your studying for you. If studying means something to you, then you'll go and do it. Why? I believe that Bible, Tim. Therefore, I study it. Okay? There's the action because I believe. All right? That makes sense? You believe that Bible? Then why aren't you living it like you should? Do you really believe it? What's the problem? Is there something in between you and God? Okay? And so I'm going to figure that out. But anyway, verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Verse 13. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Verse 14, and we're going to finish with this one. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, perfected. That means the law has, if I have Jesus Christ as my Savior, the law is perfected in me, Eric. Absolutely fulfilled 100% because of Jesus Christ, that law is in me. No longer can I be judged by that law, Tim. No longer am I judged by that law. Jesus Christ, who is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, lives inside of me, who came and took all the book of Leviticus, anything you that's in that Bible, and he has fulfilled every single bit of it, because if he left one point out, we'd still be damned and going to hell, because he did not fulfill the whole law. He said, I did not come to destroy the law, but what? To fulfill it. He became that law. 100% that law has been fulfilled by Jesus Christ. Okay? And because of that, we can now be free. Because of that, we can now be saved and not have to worry about being eternally damned underneath the law. Now, could you imagine? There are people who are going to be lost at the judgment. They're going to die, and God is going to judge them by that law. That's how they're going to be judged. But you don't have to stand there guilty in front of God. You don't have to stand there guilty and be judged. Now, am I going to be judged for anything? Of course I am. I'm going to be judged for how I handle the Word of God, how I handle my wife and my kids, this Sunday school class, the jail ministry, myself. Okay, yeah, I'm going to have to account for that, but not because of the law, but because of what I'm doing, the good or bad works, the ones that are going to burn up and the ones that are going to be good, okay? And so we see that Jesus Christ comes and he fulfills all this whole law. He takes it all. He abolishes. It's over. The old one no longer stands. It's the new one now. And it's our faith in Jesus Christ that brings us. Remember the schoolmaster. The law is the schoolmaster. That law is going to bring you from being lost underneath the law to your faith in Jesus Christ, okay? And that's what that's going to do. It's going to transport you from the old into the new. And that's what the blood of Jesus does. And so we see that he fulfills that whole thing. Now let's look at some ways, the sacrifices, why some sacrifices say male and why some say female. And as I was researching this issue, because there's not a lot out there that tells you, there's not a lot why the Bible says it, but I came across this guy, which is odd of me to even look, because normally when I study my Bible, that's where I study my Bible. Not very rarely do I use dictionaries or commentary. I don't use commentaries at all. But I came across this guy, this Baptist guy, and he had something to say about this. Is it 100% accurate and true? I don't know. I can't prove it wrong. Can you? If you can, I'll read it to you. And if you have a different opinion, you find something else different, good. But you know what? It really made sense. So I said, you know, I'm going to share this with my Sunday school class. And so when I was researching, I came across it. His name is David Regan. And I liked what he had to say. Again, I can't prove it 100%, but it's a good starting point, okay? And he's talking about Leviticus 1 through 5, okay? And he goes in and says, there are five major offerings described in the Old Testament. Leviticus 1 through 5 is the burnt, the meat, the peace, the sin, and the trespass. One of them, the meat offering, does not use animal sacrifices. You guys already know that. The other four do. However, the offerings differ in whether the animals are to be male and female. Here is how they are specified. The burnt offering is to be a male, Leviticus 1, 3, and 10. Okay, Leviticus chapter 1, verse 3, verse 10. It says that they are to be a male. The peace offering can be either male or female, Leviticus chapter 3, verse 1 and 6. The sin offering is to be male when offered for a ruler of the people, Leviticus 4, 22 and 23. But a female when offered for the common people, Leviticus 4, 27 and 28. And finally, the trespass offering is also to be a female, Leviticus 5, verse 6. And the question is why? Most likely, the male is the representative of Jesus Christ, the man. The burnt offering is a picture of a complete sacrifice, and it must be male. Also, the sin offering for a ruler must be a male. A ruler would be someone like a king or a priest, a judge or a prophet. Jesus is all of those. He's every single one of those. So we see that male, why was a male sacrifice? To represent Jesus Christ. The female would represent the common people, as in Leviticus 4, 22 and 23. Okay, in reference to sin offering. Men are often identified in scripture as they who are born of a woman. Job 14:1, Job 15:14, 25:4, and Matthew 11:11. The female would therefore be a fit representative of mankind as a whole. The peace offering would be either male or female because it was a picture of our peace with God and our fellowship with Him and each other. All are included. The sin offering, which deals with the sin nature, could be either male or female, depending on the purpose of the offering. The common man's greatest problem is his sin nature, so the female was used for the common man. However, Jesus, represented by the male for the ruler, became sin for us on the cross. He took away that sin nature. They both fit in different ways. Last of all, the trespass offering deals not with the sin nature as a whole, but with the individual sins. Although Jesus became sin for us, he never committed individual sins. The offering must then be a female, okay? God, Jesus died for our sin nature. And what he's saying here, the reason why it could be a female offering, because we're born of woman, a common person. Remember the dove? I said that he died, Jesus Christ, the fowl was the dove. He was dying for the common person. If you brought a pigeon or a dove, you were poor. Okay? And so that was the common person. And so the female here would represent our individual sins with an S, not our sin nature that Jesus, only Jesus Christ could take care of. And so that's what he describes there. And so I did some looking over and did some digging in my Bible, and I found some verses to possibly back this claim up about the female sacrifices representing mankind as a whole. Genesis 3:20 says, "And Adam called his wife Eve." Why? Because she was the mother of all living. That would make sense. That would go there when he says that the female sacrifice represents all the common people as a whole. Because why? Eve was a female and the mother of all living. Okay? So then I get in and see what you find on the subject. Also, interesting is a female spirit is also called wisdom. Wisdom is found in Proverbs 3, verses 13 through 23, and it tells you what wisdom is. And if you go in and read those verses, read Proverbs 3, verses 13 through 23, and keep this in mind. Keep that female sacrifice in mind when you read those, and it will make sense to you. It absolutely 100% makes sense. Now, let me clarify this. Normally, I don't agree with just any Joe Schmo. Okay, I really don't. Can I prove this claim 100%? No. I'm putting it out there for maybe if you have an interest in wanting to study this, then you go and study it yourself. Okay? I'm just laying something out that I thought was pretty interesting, something that made sense to me, a why of male and female. Go figure it out. Go study it yourself. Again, don't wait for somebody to hand you that. Let me ask you this. When you're hungry, are you going to wait for somebody to hand you food, or are you going to go get it yourself, guys? Okay? If you really want to know something in your Bible, are you really going to wait for somebody to hand it to you? Because I can only give you what God gives me. What about what God wants to give each and every one of you? If you think you're sitting here today and God doesn't want to give each and every one of you something special, He does. 100% He does. He doesn't want to just save it for Pastor and save it for Pastor Hayne and save it for me and Mike. No, He wants to give you guys something. So go after it. Go get it. Feed that. Listen, man cannot live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. You got to understand, that spiritual food is just as important as that physical food that you put in your body every single day. That's important to God. Because He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. He's not worried about if you get bread, if you get food and water. He's not worried about that first. He's worried about you getting your spiritual food first. Okay? And if you get your spiritual food first, when you do get some food on your plate or get some food in your hand, you'll be more thankful for it. Okay? And so go find it, guys. Get hungry and go find out. Show me something. Teach me something. I have open ears. I can be taught. All right? And so that's just a little platform. Next week, we're going to get into, I think, Leviticus 4 or something. Is our next one. We're moving pretty quick, but we'll be in Leviticus 4 next week. Thanks for listening.